Good morning. It is great to be with you. I hope that, that you are doing well, and we pray together that each one of us can say, it is well with my soul, that we are thankful to know our great and glorious God and to know that He knows us and that He is preparing a place for us. We're truly blessed. It's a great, great blessing to be able to be part of the family of God. Amen. Thank you. Well, what we want to talk about today is being built up. And so it is my prayer that after we've prayed together and sung together and communed together and we've studied together, it's my prayer that as we leave this place today, that we will be built up, we'll be encouraged, we'll be challenged to be the church that Jesus expects us to be, that we'll seek to live and be the church that Jesus died for. What we've been doing over the last several weeks is we have been studying this concept of building the church of Jesus. And what we're going to look at today is this concept, this idea, this word, build. The New Testament uses the word build or built over and over again. It's an important concept. So we're going to try and better understand it. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. You know what he says next? And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. Now I'm convinced this means, at the very least, a couple of very important things. When Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. I'm building my church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. He's saying this, first of all. Satan won't be able to keep me from establishing the church. Satan would love to keep me, Jesus said. Satan would love to keep me from establishing the church. I won't let him. Even my death, the death of Jesus Christ, would not be a hindrance to establishing the church. In fact, the death of Jesus was a key. The death of Jesus was a key component in the plan of God in building the church. So when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he was saying, even when I die, even with my death, Satan will not have won. He won't be able to prevent me from establishing the church. But there was also more to it than that. It wasn't just that. That was primary. That was important. But it wasn't just that. Jesus was also saying, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Meaning this, Satan won't be able to destroy my church once it's established. Once this has been started, there's nothing Satan will be able to do to stop it. He may use every trick. We know he's going to use every scheme available, but Satan will never, ever be able to slam the gates shut. He won't be able to eradicate. He won't be able to destroy the church. He won't. And so Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to establish it no matter what, and it's going to keep standing no matter what Satan wants or what Satan does. It was God's will and God's plan that the church be established, and now it's God's will and God's plan that you and I continue to fortify, continue to edify. Remember, we said previously that Jesus Christ gave us the blueprint for what the church is to be. And so Jesus now expects us to go into all of the world building this church. Matthew 28, you know Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You know it as the Great Commission. You're familiar with it. Jesus said, go therefore. He said, teach, baptize, and teach. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. When you connect the dots, when you understand all of the things that have been taught in the New Testament, understand what Jesus has been saying about the church, you recognize that what Jesus was saying there was this. Not just go and make disciples and baptize and teach them what I've commanded. He said this, go into all the world and build my church. That's what Jesus is saying, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I've given you the blueprint, go build my church. I've established it here in Jerusalem. It's now a worldwide enterprise. You go and build the church. So, for today's subject, we're going to use this very often used term, build, and we're going to build our sermon around it. We're going to build each other up so that we are fortified and able to go out and help build others into the image of Jesus Christ. part of God's plan for ensuring that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against the church was for the members of this body to love each other. John 13, 35. God's plan is for us to care for each other. God's plan is for us to protect each other. We know that a divided kingdom can't stand, right? Jesus would say of the individual person, a divided kingdom cannot stand. Mark 3, 24. Division brings destruction. And so in this respect, we are to be in the building business, not in the demolition business. Paul indicated in places like 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8, and 2 Corinthians 13, verse 10, he said, the apostles were given their divine authority so that they could build up the body of Christ. He says specifically, we've been given this authority to build up, not to destroy, not to tear down. So basically what Paul's saying in a place like 2 Corinthians 10, 8 is this. The Lord has given me this authority to build you up and not tear you down or destroy you. That's what I've been instructed to do. He said, in fact, we destroy arguments, not people. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. So there's the concept. That's what we're going to try and do today. That's what we're going to try and think about together today. Is that what God wants from us is to build each other up. If we're going to live and act like the church, we've established what the church is, what it looks like, how to become members of it. Today we're going to talk about how to live like it. One of the many aspects in which we go about living like the church that Jesus built. Well, it starts with this. Let's answer this question. Why should we build each other up? Why should we build each other up? Well, I guess the very simple, the easy answer is because, well, God commanded it. Well, that's right. We just read a few moments ago, as Todd read for us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible can't be misunderstood here. Build one another up. Encourage each other and build each other up. That's just what it says. There's a command from God. Build each other up. Okay, we're done. You probably wish it was that easy that we would stop right now. We're not going to stop. The easy answer is, why build us up? Because God commanded it. But it goes so much deeper than that. God doesn't leave us just with that. He says, let me tell you more. He says, here's why I want you to build others up. Because others need it. When you interact with people in this world, you know who you come in contact with? Not just souls that'll last forever. Every single person you come in contact with is an eternal soul. But you also come in contact with people morning, noon, and night. Wherever you go, you come in contact with a person who needs to be built up, who needs encouragement, who needs love, who needs compassion. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Okay, so there's going to be people who are lazy, who are trying to disrupt and thwart the hard work of the kingdom. Admonish them. Tell them they can't just keep doing that. But it goes on with this. This is where we really want to focus. We urge you, brothers, encourage the faint-hearted. You are going to meet the faint-hearted. Encourage them. He says, help the weak. You're going to meet the weak. Help them. And he says, and be patient with them all. Whether it's the idle or the faint-hearted or the weak or anybody you come in contact with, be patient with them all. In this letter to the church at Thessalonica, Paul has mentioned all different kinds of people who are facing all different kinds of hardships. He's talked about people who've been shaken because they've been persecuted. He's talked about people who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Their hearts hurt because they've said goodbye to someone they love. He's talked about them here in this letter. There are some who are unsure about the future. What will the future be like? When will the Lord return? What will it be like when the Lord returns? They've got all these questions about the future. He talks to them. There are some who are unsure of their status in the Lord. If the Lord were to return today, what would happen to me? Or am I saved? Am I ready? So they've got all these different questions, all these different circumstances, and they are faint-hearted and they are weak. They've been beaten down by the storms of life. You and I don't have to be told that the people that Paul deals with in 1 Thessalonians are the exact same kind of people that you and I deal with every single day. We meet people who are hurting. we encounter people who need to be built up. And this is especially true of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians 6:10, do good unto all, especially those of the household of faith. So why should we build each other up? Well, because other people need it. But we keep going. Why should we build others up? Well, because of this, because we need it. Because I need it, because you need it. It's not just that, it's certainly not this, it's not just, we walk around perfect. Everything is sunshine and roses, never a care in the world. It's only everyone else who needs encouragement. If only that were true. But Jesus says in the golden rule, Matthew 7 verse 12, you do unto others, you treat others the way you want to be treated. You go and encourage others, not only because they need it, but because you know there's coming a day, if it's not already today, that you will need it. You get tired. I get tired. We need others to build us up. And so why should we do it? Because others need it and because we need it. I need it. You need it. But then consider this. Be turning with me in your Bibles to Romans 15. Why build each other up? Well, because this was who Jesus was. This is the way Jesus lived. And this is the way we want to live. Read with me beginning at Romans 15, 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Now note this. Please your neighbor for his good and build him up. Why? What's my motivation here for building up my brother? What's my motivation here for bearing with the weak? Verse 3, for Christ did not please himself, but as it's written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Jesus bears with us. Jesus went through what he didn't deserve, but what we did and do deserve. Jesus bears with the weak. And you and I ought to seek to emulate and follow that. He says, he starts this section by talking about those who are strong. Those who are strong have an obligation. So let me ask you this morning, do you consider yourself to be tough? Are you strong and capable? Are you a confident person? If you answer yes to that, or if you answer pretty much, let me tell you something. Here's what Jesus says to you. You better be a builder. You'd better be somebody who builds other people up. Because strong people don't put other people down. Strong people lift others up. The weak are out here saying, look, if you're so strong, then pick me up. Build me up. I need it. Jesus was the perfect example of strength and love. He didn't deserve it, but he sacrificed and he paid the price so that others, and that when I say others, that means you and me, Jesus paid the price so that others could be built up. Building others up not only helps them, it makes us more like Jesus. So why build each other up? Well, because it was commanded. And you know, there's people out there that are hurting. And you know, sometimes I hurt. Build others up. It draws us closer to and it makes us more like Jesus. Because that's who he was, that's what he did, and that's what we ought to want to be. Build others up. Be like Jesus. So the next one is this. Okay, you've answered that question. Yes, I want to build others up. I see how it will help. I see how it will make me more like Jesus. I want to walk in his footsteps. So I understand that I should do this. But now my question is, how? How do we build each other up? How can I be someone who will be a builder rather than someone who tears others down? Well, it starts here. To answer the question, how do we build others up? We have to begin with the Word of God. Of course, this is where we begin. In any and every endeavor in which you and I are involved with, we always should begin with the words of life. Scripture, the Word of God. Because note this, the Bible says in a place like James chapter 1, verse 21, that when the Word of God is received with meekness, the Word of God is able to save our souls. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this divine message. Because it's the gospel that has the power of salvation. So, if we want to help, if we want to build other people up, and I don't mean this in a smart aleck kind of a way. I mean this as sincerely as possible. If you want to build others up, if you want to be built up, your first reaction shouldn't be to run to the self-help section at the bookstore. I love books, and there's great value in books. I challenge anyone to show me you love books more than I. But we start with God. We start with the Word of God. If you need to be built up, you need someone else that needs to be built up, you start with God's words. John chapter 6, verse 68, when Jesus had challenged the disciples, well, you're going to go away? You're going to run away? Are you going to leave, desert me like others? Simon Peter answers him, John 6, 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Nobody else can provide what you do. Lord, to whom shall we go? No one else can build us up the way you can. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. According to Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 12, we see here that preachers and elders and Bible class teachers, you know what they're supposed to do? They are supposed to use the Word of God to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Notice this. They're to use the Word of God to build up the body of Christ. How do I build others up? With the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Take note of a couple of things here. In this section, 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13, and then going all the way through chapter 5, verse 11. So 4:13 to 5:11. You're going to see in this passage two different times the inspired apostle Paul is going to say, he's going to indicate to certain Christians, he's going to say to his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, he's going to say, use these words. Use these words to encourage each other. That's the last verse of chapter 4, so 4:18, and then verse 11 of chapter 5. Paul says, use these words. Use these divinely inspired words that I've been given and have given to you. Use these words to build each other up. Use these words to encourage each other. So here's what he's saying. Let me summarize these sections. He says, we're going to be sad. We're going to grieve when people we love pass away. But we have a kind of hope. We have something within us. We have knowledge about the future. We have knowledge about reality that can't be seen that others don't have. Because we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, because we know the tomb is empty, we don't grieve like others do. Build the grieving up with that. He said there are others that are going to know that the future of the church is glorious, that we'll get to be with the Lord forever. There's a grand reunion with the saved that's awaiting us all. For those who are uncertain about the future, build them up with that. We know that today is the day to be prepared for the future. This is what chapter 5 is all about. Today's the day to be prepared. The Lord says, you don't know what day I'm coming back. Be like a thief coming in the night. A thief doesn't call ahead and say, tonight's the night I'm robbing you. He said, just like that, the Lord will return when you're not aware. And so therefore, the point is, always be ready. So we know today is the day to be prepared because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so when we use things like this, we see this, that the Lord is telling us the Word of God comforts. The Word of God equips. The Word of God builds up. So if you struggle, the place to begin, if you need to be built up, the place to begin is the Word of God. If your loved one struggles, the place to begin is the Word of God. Go to Romans chapter 15. This is the last point I want to make in this first section. Romans 15. Romans 15, beginning at verse 4. Romans 15, 4, this is what the Bible says. For whatever was written in former days, Scripture, that you and I might commonly refer to as the Old Testament, but you and I can just recognize it as this, Scripture. For what was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, note this, this is what happens, this is what Scripture gives us, through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. See, you build each other up, right? And in accord with Christ Jesus, that together as a family, as a body, together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. How do we build each other up? The Word. It begins there, and it really ends there. But the Word itself is going to give us further instruction. The Word will say things like this. How do we build each other up? Well, with our words, with the way we speak. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. But here's what should come out of your mouth. Only such as is good for building up. You speak words that build others up. You don't speak words that tear others down. So he says, but only as fit for good and for building up. And he says this, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 23, this is what the Bible says. All things are lawful. Here Paul is quoting what some have said, sort of a statement that others are living by. I have the right to do whatever I want. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. You see, some say, you know, I've got the right to do whatever I want. Others may not actually say those words, but they live like they believe it. Scripture says it matters what we do. It matters what we say. Some acts and some words tear down, while other acts and other words build up. Now, just try these on for size. We could list a million different things, but just consider these. It sort of come to the forefront of my mind all the time. Whenever you say to me, I'm sorry, you build me up. Whenever you say, I forgive you, you build me up. Whenever you say, I see what you've done and I appreciate what you're doing, you build me up. Don't you agree? Isn't that the way that you feel? When someone says those things to you, aren't you built up? Haven't you noticed how your words can change other people's faces? You ever notice that? That someone can go from this to this because of what you said? Or the opposite, they can go from this to this because of what you said? This stands out to me in a real way, that stern, hard faces can be made to be sweet and pleasant when they're surprised by kind and uplifting words. And the opposite can be true. Was at a coffee shop recently, not here in this town, about an hour and a half north of here. I was in a coffee shop very recently. And there was this young man behind the counter. He was working hard. He was in a good mood. He was smiling, and things were just lovely and great. Made you extra enjoy your coffee, the way he was conducting himself. But then he was dealing with one customer, and he kind of got tongue-tied. And so he paused for a moment, I guess, you know, to sort of collect himself. And the customer so rudely, so arrogantly said, "Come on, use your words." And you could just see the look on the young man. Everything changed. He went from, he was embarrassed, he was shocked, and the customer turned, rolled his eyes, and scoffed, you know, walked away. This interaction could have been so different, right? It's just one example of what takes place constantly, every day. The words that we use can either build up or tear down. Our words matter. But sometimes we don't have to use a word. You don't have to say anything in order to build somebody up, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says, not only to rejoice with those who rejoice, but to weep with those who weep. Many people are weeping. How do we help build them back up? Do we have to share the most profound words ever uttered? Do we have to share the deepest of intellectual reflections? Or do we just cry with them? The way Job's friends helped him the most was when they said nothing but just sit and cry with him. Job chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6, it says that Paul was comforted by the mere presence of Titus. Let's be mindful of our words, what we say and how we say them, and really even what we don't say. Let's be mindful of using our words to build others up. Thirdly, we build up even with our worship. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want you to notice a couple of things here. 1 Corinthians 14. Three different verses. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. Verse 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Verse 26. What then, brothers? When you come together, meaning when you assemble for worship, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. As we pray together, it should be done not only with the goal in mind of glorifying Almighty, perfect God, but with a view to building each other up. As we sing together, when we open the Word of God and meditate together, we are to be built up. We're bound together. We're drawn closer to God. As we glorify and praise God together, as we lift up His name in a way that pleases Him, we are lifted up. We should leave this place knowing that what we have done has been a beautiful, lovely aroma, pleasing aroma going up before Almighty God. When we leave this place knowing that we've pleased God, when we leave this place recharged and renewed, when we leave this place challenged to walk with Jesus, we should leave this place as a family that's more tight-knit and that's closer than ever before. Our worship should not only draw us closer to God, but closer to one another, and it should build us up. Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 24, the Bible says, let us consider how to stir up one another. How to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting, note this, not neglecting to meet together. See, the meeting together, the assembling together, is a key element in stirring each other up to love and good works, to building each other up. He says, because sadly, it's the habit of some to neglect being together. And so we should be encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Our worship can build up or it can tear down. So let us draw closer to God and closer to one another. And then finally, we build each other up by our faithful works. Now, I want to cover a lot of ground here, but just in a short couple of moments. Ephesians 1:15, the Bible says, Paul said, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. Paul was built up and he was encouraged when he heard about the faithfulness of the church. I've heard about your faithfulness. I've heard about the way you trust God, you're being obedient, and it builds me up. John would say the same thing in 3 John, verse 4. John said, I have no greater joy. He might say, nothing builds me up more than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So Paul was built up and encouraged. John was built up and encouraged when he heard about the faithfulness of the church. So what were they hearing about? What did Paul hear? What did John hear? Well, he heard that those people, those saints, weren't giving in to persecution. They stayed faithful even in the face of something difficult. That built them up. They were facing death with Christian resolve, knowing that this isn't the end. They valiantly faced death, and that built up others. The wayward were repenting, the lost were being saved, and they were hearing this news, and they were encouraged. Turn with me to Luke 15. In Luke 15, we recognize a passage that's familiar, three passages, three parables that we know well, three items: the sheep and the coin and the boy who got lost. Now think about this with me. What we're going to see here is those who are lost being found and the way that causes others to react. Verse 7, just so I tell you, there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. Verse 10, just so I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then verse 22. The father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on this boy. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. And so they began to celebrate. You want others to get excited? You want others to be built up? Repent, and you will see others built up. Ask for prayers. Ask for forgiveness, and you will see others built up. You want to see others excited? Be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never obeyed the gospel, now don't pick up your songbook yet. I know many of us don't pick up songbooks, but don't start getting. You want to be encouraged? In the last few weeks, as both a preacher and as a father, I've been built up in ways that I couldn't have imagined. About a week ago, Jet was baptized into Christ. You know, yesterday, two ladies from the detention center were baptized. But last night, also, Ike was baptized. You think Laura and I are built up right now? Your actions, your display of faith, makes a difference in the lives of others. When you say, I need forgiveness, you build someone else up. When you recognize you've been walking in the world and need to be a part of the body of Christ, that you need the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from your sins, and you're united with Jesus in a death like His and a resurrection like His, don't you know others are built up because of that? Your indifference will also affect others. Your sin and your rebellion will affect others. But your faithfulness will build them up. As we build the church of Jesus according to His blueprint, He expects us to be building each other up. So consider your knowledge of Scripture. Consider your words. Consider your worship and consider your faithfulness. Are others being built up or torn down because of you? Is the Lord pleased with what you are displaying, with the way you are building others up? Let me ask you this question. We will close. How can we help you today? How can we help in this construction project of helping to build each other up? Because what we want more than anything else is to build each other up as the Lord would do. If there's any way we can help you this morning, please come while we stand and sing.